O'er the land and o'er the sea, how the precious blood has cleansed me, how the Jesus set me free. Hallelujah, glory, glory, in my heart.
Singing,
where the milk and honey flows, oh, the joy bells now are ringing in my soul from day to day. Of His love I'll keep on singing as I travel on the way.
Singing,
where the milk and honey flow.
What a song. Amen.
I guess it's the third time to play, isn't it? This...
No, I don't have my book up here.
Well, honey, you can go back
to
the book.
I'll be here for you.
Provoking one another in love. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'll tell you right now, there's a day coming. Amen. It's on the calendar of God. What a day that's going to be. Amen.
You got a bunch of them there,
ain't you? Well, I don't play them all. I just play them. There's high ground, heaven, at least sunlight, whatever.
And Aunt Kelby sang it. What? Play sang Aunt Kelby.
Yeah.
It'd be the thrill, isn't it?
I'll
tell you what, if it hadn't been Kelby, we wouldn't have none of us.
Amen, amen.
He paid her city left. I don't get to accept and live for him. That ain't asking too much. It's sure been a joy of serving him down through the years since 1965. Better than we deserve. 311.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on liberty at Calvary.
Oh,
That's what took. That's what it took. Save a wretch like me. Amen.
228. Prayers here today. Praise wonderful.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
228.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Got a special on your heart this morning, we'd certainly welcome that if anybody does. I want to give an opportunity. Like I said earlier, I can't sing a lick. I can't carry a tune in the bucket. The bottom's out. But I thank God for those not only that can sing, but I thank God for those that want to sing about Him and that want to sing for His glory. I've often wondered why God didn't just save us and take us on to heaven. And then I realized He left us down here to be a testimony of His saving grace. And people look at me and they say, how in the world could God save someone like you? I said, I don't know myself, but I'll tell you one thing. It took amazing grace to do it. You got something on your heart there, Brother William?
I was just thinking about 10,000 years.
10,000, just begun.
Just begun. That ain't even perfect.
Amen.
I love the Lord.
Bless
I love
you, brother.
That song, because that song means something to me.
Because yeah.
I know where I come from when I hear that song.
That's right.
It may not mean, but I tell you, that means
Bless
something
to me. Amen. The Bible talks about so great a cloud of witnesses there in the book of Hebrews.
You know, it gives me a joy unspeakable, full of glory. I just can't tell people how I feel about stuff like it. It just, you don't understand it.
Amen. We had 5-minute preaching one time over at Bethel, and you'd be surprised how much you can say in 5 minutes. But I remember I was preaching on being on fire for God. I said, you get on fire for God, and here come the devil with a fire extinguisher trying to put it out. And there was, I guess, probably some truth to that statement. But I wish we could stay on fire. I wish, praise God, we'd be a burning coal for God. Every now and then I ask God, I said, God, if you wouldn't mind, breathe on the coals and get them going again. I think sometimes they get cold. They need to be stirred from time to time and need the breath of God to breathe on them. I'm embarrassed at how cold I get sometimes. And I'm also reminded to think back of how on fire I was I remember when I first got saved, I thought, I'm never going to get cold. I'm never going to back down. And lo and behold, it, sure enough, time took its toll on old brother Eddie. Now, I used to witness to a fence post. I made a lot of people mad because I'd witnessed to anyone. They said, I'm the preacher's dog. I said, I don't care how you saved. And I have to admit, I wasn't doing it for any recognition. It's just there was too much in there. I had to pour it out. I was about to burst. I was like wine in the bottle, building up pressure. But I've noticed I ain't got a pocket full of tracks no more. For about 20 years, you never saw me. I didn't have a pocket full of tracks. And I'd leave them in every restroom. I stopped. I don't care where. I don't care. Even in a church, I'd leave one in the restroom. But the reason I don't have them in there is because I sweat so much now. And I was ruining them. And that's a poor excuse, but that's the reason I took them out of my shirt pocket. I got to find somewhere else to put them. But we'll take our text this morning, unless somebody's got something on your heart. Psalm chapter number 126. Psalms chapter number 126. And we'll take our text from there this morning. As a matter of fact, I think I'll just read one verse. And I'll probably comment on maybe some of the other ones. But I think I'm just going to read one verse this morning because I've been long this morning. And that seems to run in my neck of the woods for some reason or other. But Psalms 126, verse number 6, says, He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, Amen. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And I preached last Sunday, Jesus, the soul winner, and I want to try my best with the help of God, and I have prayed about this, to preach this morning on the soul winner's job. And please pray with me, and we'll ask God's blessing. Father, Lord, we call upon You. Lord, at this time, for no man can stand where I'm standing without the help of God. Lord, I confess I have no ability other than availability. And Peter said, let every man minister as the Lord gives ability, and I'm asking for that this morning. Fill my horn with oil. Open my eyes with eyesight. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that this tongue could speak forth plainly that which You'd have to be said. Lord, help my heart, I pray. Lord, if You would and if You could, would You please squeeze my heart? I'm ashamed, Lord, to be so dry-eyed. Help me, I pray. Lord, I'd rather be like a Jeremiah, be known as the weeping prophet, than to be known with dried eyes. Help me this morning. Help us all this morning, Lord. We might have some of Your burden, some of Your spirit. We might be able, Lord, to be able to prevail against the enemy, to be able to prevail against the hold of the enemy upon the lost. Lord, whatever You do this morning, we'll give You all the praise and all the glory. We just want to ask for Your blessing and for Your help. In Jesus' name, amen. The soul winner's job is to go forth. It said, He that goeth forth. Now, we're all here this morning, and it's a good place to be. I wanted to be here this morning. I drove an hour to get here. I want to go further if need be. Someone said once, and I'll echo what they said a church that's alive is worth the drive. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, they're dying, like Molly said, and God's the only one I know that can resuscitate them. He's the one that breathed into the nostrils of Adam the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And as much as I don't like to hear it, it still don't take away from the fact that churches are dying. And the reason they're dying, they're taking away the very thing that needed for life. And it's the Word of God. And I'll tell you right now, if they get back to preaching what thus said the Word of God, there'll be some fruit. There'll be some life. Amen. I'll tell you right now what the problem is. The problem's in the pulpit. Maybe some in the pew.
My pastor used to tell me if I can't handle my pulpit, there's something wrong with me, something wrong with what I'm doing. So I'll tell you right now, buddy, Paul said, if I do this thing willingly, he said, I'll receive a reward. But woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. We just need to get back to the book, amen. Get back to the instruction in righteousness. Get back to preaching. Preach self about preself. And lie about lying. Hear a little and there a little. What thus said the Word of God? What did God tell Ezekiel to do to those dry bones? Preach to them, didn't he? He asked him a question first. He said, can they live? He was not been a Baptist. He said, Lord, you know. He didn't try to say, yeah, they'll live. He said, Lord, thou knowest. He said, well, prophesy or preach to them. And he said, as I preached to them, he said, bone knit against bone. And they stood up. And God told him, keep preaching to them. And the breath of God come in and they became a mighty army, which actually the picture of Israel coming back to restoration and coming back to being the army of God. But to be a soul winner, we got to go forth. Listen, if you're not going forth, you're not going to ever be a soul winner. You got to go where they're at. You got to, you know, the psalm is, of course, it's a reverence to Christ, but it said, no man care for my soul. And if you do care enough to go, if you do go forth, you'll find out, buddy, something. Something will come forth from you going. Me and Brother Ricky, we had a healthy visitation program. A lot of people that we went to visit wouldn't come, but God would honor our efforts. He'd send others. And I still believe that's true today. I believe that we'll go forth. I believe God will honor the fact that we went out in the hedges and highways and compelling to come in that his house might be filled. I believe we have more going forth. I believe we have more coming through the door. Yeah. Now, I know this 2014, we're supposed to be Laodicean. We're supposed to be lukewarm, laid back. I know that. And if I do wake you up in your hammock, don't hold it against me. I'm just a messenger boy. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, we need to redeem the time. The days are evil. I'm telling you, it's not safe to get on an airplane. It's not safe to get in a train. It's not safe to get in your car. Amen. It's not safe to go to school. It's not safe to sit in a church pew. It's not safe to mention the name Jesus. You know why they beheaded Daniel Pearl? He's a Jew. That other boy, that right-hand man of Saddam Hussein, that Zach, whatever his name was. You know why he beheaded that other guy? Because he's a Christian. Because their Holy Koran tells them to behead Jews and Christians. He's just doing what he's been taught. You can call it whatever you want to. I'll tell you one thing. You can commend them on. They believe what they believe. We say we believe. Lift a finger then. Go forward! God said in Isaiah chapter number 6, verse 8, God said, who will go? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. You volunteer to go if God wants to send you somewhere. God gives you a burden for someone. Me and Brother Melvin and probably wore the driveway out on Billy Huckabee. But I tell you what, we're still going, ain't we? We went over there to the nursing home last Sunday. We saw something we wasn't expecting. We saw Alvy Burton over there. And he wasn't back there in the room back there hiding. He's out there, buddy, out there where the gospel singing was going on and the testimony was going on. You know where that came from? Going forth. Remember we went to the hospital? We went back there in his room. He wouldn't even think about going out there. I told Melvin, I said, he'd take a stick of dynamite and a bulldozer to get him in the service. We come by there. He looked different, didn't he?
Yeah,
the reason he looked different, somebody been going forth, buddy.
Well, his girlfriend said she could say this.
That's right. I'll tell you right now, going forth will make a difference, amen. Isaiah said, here am I. He said, send me. God said, go, amen. Go. Boy, we need to be going for God.
Amen.
We need to go and tell what great things the Lord's done. What He's done for us to give them faith to believe He can do it for them. Amen. You say you ain't got no testimony, won't you just give it and find out? You start giving your testimony. Two things. One, you'll remember what God done for you.
Amen.
Next thing, someone else will know what God done for you that can do for them. That's why you're not in heaven. That's why I remember the day I got saved. I remember just like today. I remember when I closed my eyes and called upon Him, it's rich in mercy, all I called upon Him. And I didn't know no prayer. I didn't know no scripture. I didn't know Him. Someone told me, He said, Eddie, Jesus loves you. If you'll ask Him, He'll save you. And I knelt down there just for that thought. Dear Lord, somebody told me you love me. Somebody told me if I would ask you, you'd save me. I said, the best way I know how, I'm asking you to forgive me my sins and save my soul. And you call it whatever you want to. But the guilt and the condemnation and the travail in my soul was replaced by the peace of God that passes all understanding.
Amen.
The joy unspeakable was so great. I got up and went and looked in the mirror. That mirror couldn't show it, but I couldn't hide it. I tell you right now, I run my mama down. She's shaking like a leaf in autumn wind. I had her cornered. I'm afraid the Santa over the floor might let me go. Y'all might see me back. I might rapture out of here. But I cornered my mama. And I said, Mama, I got saved. And I still remember her little bony finger in my face. She said, when you get home, Molly's been looking up some words. She said, when you get home, she said, you look up the word fanatic. That's what you are. Mama never said nothing nice about me in all my life. To this day, that's the greatest badge of honor my mother's ever penned to me. And may it always be true. I'll tell you right now, boy, you take a good dose of Jesus, it'll help you with any whatever you're struggling with. But we need to be going forward. Me and Brother Melvin, last Sunday, we were out going, and we pulled in this driveway, and I saw, let me wait on that. I'll tell that here in a minute. We went out on visitation at Bethel Baptist Church on Thursday night. It was still daylight. And we was going down this road, just a dead end road, just a subdivision like. They went on one side and others went on the other side and they was all paired up and I was left alone. Go figure. Anyway, here I am all alone and I go down there and then I woke up to this house and they find something a little louder. Nothing. Well, I'm sitting there tapping my foot. Nothing. I've never done this but once in my life. It's the only time I've ever done this. I went around to the back of the house. This is my first house, Molly. And I just wasn't going to take no for an answer. I went around to the back of that house. And a woman answered that door. She was visibly shaken. She said, I didn't want to answer that door. She said, I was on my knees in here in the kitchen with a butcher knife to my chest trying to get up enough nerve to plunge it into my chest. She said, I've had it up to here. I said, ma'am, I don't know your name, but I know what your problem is. You need Jesus and you need Him now. I never seen no one so moved that fast. She was right for the picking, boy. She'd done tried everything else and it had failed. I wish we could just get them to start with Jesus, Brother Vernon. I don't know why in the world we got to go all over this world and spend all we got and suffer so many things and grow nothing better but rather worse if we just start with Jesus.
Amen.
She got saved right there in the kitchen floor. You call it whatever you want to, I'll show you to her when we get to heaven. But if she had issues, to the point the devil said, I'd just take my life if I was you. I'll tell you, we got to go forth. There's people out there that are nearer to hell than others. Find that one that's nearest hell. Reach them first. And then just keep going, amen. We got to go forth as a church. We got to go forth, amen. But not just go forth. It said, go forth and weeping. Weepeth. Would to God we could have a burdened heart and soul. Would to God our tears would be shown. I'll tell you, Rick said, people don't care how much you know. They won't know how much you care. I'll tell you what, if you come up with some tears, they'll at least know you care. Amen. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, we need to come up with some tears. I'm not talking about crocodile tears. I'm talking about genuine tears. for lost souls. We've become so calloused in heart and so comfortable in our recliners that we forgot there's a world out there that's perishing. Old song said, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. We've got to get back. I think the church today is out of business. You show me a church that's working what I just said, just them two things, and I'll show you an altar that's being used. You know what? The world out there, they've got an opinion of the church. We're all a bunch of hypocrites, and we're in here handling snakes, and we're in here speaking some kind of gibberish that, for lack of better words, I'm not really sure for this day and hour. And when I say that, here's why I say that, because my Bible tells me that the Jews require a sign, and tongues were given for a sign, and every time I've ever seen anyone in the Bible speak in tongues, there was an unbelieving Jew present, and they got saved. Every single time. Look it up. There's never a time that someone spoke in tongues that there wasn't an unbelieving Jew present, and they got saved. Just read about Cornelius. That those Jews were convinced he's saved. They didn't forbid him water to baptize him. They were convinced. They saw the evidence. But anyway, we need to go forth. We need to go forth not just weeping, but we need to go forth bearing precious seed. Luke chapter number 11, in the parable of the sower, the Lord told us plainly the seed is the Word of God. I tried to sow a little seed this morning. And I try to as much as I can, and I don't think anyone could ever do it to any extent of what we should be doing. When I stopped at the 5-star restaurant, a young girl came by, and she says, it's cold outside. And I said, no. And just soon I said, no, my heart pricked me just a little bit, not as bad as it has other times. And I realized I needed to continue that conversation. And I went out there, this young girl out there, and she's puffing on her cigarette, and the world done left its mark on her. And I said, I want to reiterate what I just said back there. I said it wasn't cold outside, and I wasn't altogether right. I said it is cold outside without Jesus. See, I always try to bring Jesus in there. Every conversation ought to be headed as beeline as you can to one subject. Somehow get them to Jesus. She didn't want to hear it, but I'll let God do what needs to be done there. At least I planted some seed. Only a true witness delivers souls, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 25. And I said that for a reason. Because there's a lot of witnesses today. And the difference between a true witness is a false witness. And one of the things the Lord warned about continually all through the Bible was take heed that no man deceive you. But what a false witness does is they make a lost person a twofold more child of hell than themselves. Matthew chapter 23, verse 15. That may not be no alarm to you, but the most predominant, and I say religion because I'm saved. I don't even like the word religion, because religion pleases man, salvation pleases God. But the most predominant religion today is the Muslim religion. And it's rapidly spreading like some plague. Now, you may not think this is no big deal, but they believe what they believe to the point they're willing to blow themselves up. They believe what they believe to the point they're willing to blow you up. They believe what they believe to the point they're willing to do anything for their so-called God, Allah. And if they come, look, old Brother Eddie, it won't be no trophy. They can take this old bald head and make a bowling ball out if they want to. But there ain't nothing holy about the Koran, and there ain't nothing about Allah that has anything at all to do with God other than in the eyes and the minds of men. The Bible said there's one God. One Lord.
Amen.
One faith. One baptism. John said, I indeed baptize with water, but he comes out of me, mine or not, he baptized with fire and Holy Ghost. So there's your one baptism. You do what if you don't do there. But and by one Spirit we've been baptized into the body of Christ. But anyway, those Muslims, they're doing what we need to do. They're proselyting. They're making twofold more childs of hell than themselves. There's no 40 virgins. I hate to burst the bubble. They're following traditions of men. They're following commandments of men. They're not following commandments of God. Their book is a wrong book. And I tell you right now, they can be one to God. And if somebody could somehow win the right one to God, there might be some hope for some of them. Amen. Hindus believe in reincarnation. Believe in Buddha, I think, or something like that. Again, here we are. I ain't got no hole in the bottom of my shoe. I used to. I did. There's a guy in town, man, every time I come in there, needs some new souls. Yeah, I've been after souls. He's done a pretty good job, man. He put some rubber ones on there, buddy. Instead of leather, he said, see if you can hold them up there, preacher. And I wore them out faster than the leather ones. That's what we need to do. We're failing in this effort. These people are going to hell. They're going to hell thinking they're going to heaven. They, you know, Paul, he said this about Israel. He said, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. If I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Amen. They got the zeal that we need, and we got the knowledge that they need. Just imagine they was all Baptist. Man, can you, and I hate to say Baptist, it's not even really a good term. I do go to a Baptist church. If I claim anything in that category, it'd probably be Baptist or Illustratus. But I'm really a Christian, and I'm a Christian by birth. And I got in the body of Christ by being born again. That's why you can call me a Christian. I'm part of the body of Christ. But listen, Paul talked about them having a zeal, but not according to knowledge. He said his heart's desire was that they might be saved. He said they were ignorant of God's righteousness. And he said that he's going about to establish their own righteousness. Before we get all high and mighty, some of you and me are like that. We think we've arrived. We've forgotten more than most people know. Well, to catch me out, man, I read the Bible through 17 times and I need to read it about 175 more times. I just want you to know, buddy, when you get to where you can't learn nothing, you become unprofitable to God. If God can't call upon you and test you and try you and prove you because you think you're a five-star general or something in God's army, I'll tell you who God's going to use. He's going to use that one old verse dumb in a box of rocks, but it's got enough faith to believe God that when God tells him to do something, he'll put some feet on it, Brother Melvin. Now, before we think that we've learned so much that God doesn't have to wink at us because the wind of this world is foolish with God and He winked and commanded men everywhere to repent, we need to realize God wrote the Bible. He gave the Bible. God saved me. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, we need to realize, buddy, just like Israel, if we're not careful, we'll be just as guilty of them, and we won't submit to ourselves to the righteousness of God. He said they won't submit to God, verse 3. Verse 4, he said it clears the veil. Christ is the end of the law of righteousness. Well, end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, if that leaves a bad taste in your mouth, you write these verses down and you look them up. And let's let God be true. You and I will be just what we are. We come out of the womb speaking lies. But you write these verses down and you won't make the mistake that Israel made. You write down Romans chapter 3 verse 24 through 28. You write down Philippians chapter 3 verse 9. You write down Romans chapter 4 verse 5 through number 8. You'll know one thing. Just like Jonah said, salvation's of the Lord. When you're in the belly of a whale, you tell me what you can do. He said, I cried by reason of my affliction. He said, the Lord heard me. And then he started talking with faith. He said, I will go into thy temple again. And I will praise thy name again. And the very first limousine was a whale. And the Bible said that whale took that disobedient prophet and put him on dry ground. First limousine. I don't know how big a whale is. I've just seen them on TV, but the first limousine was a whale. I don't know which ocean it was, but Jesus, if he hadn't told us, we just thought it was a great fish. But Jesus said, as the whale swallowed up Jonah, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days. Listen, none of us, my boast is not in any way. Paul said his boast was in the Lord. He thought all the stuff he had is dung away for the excellency of Christ. But we need to get back to the Bible. And if you ain't got the precious seed, you ain't going to bring the right crop up. You're going to bring tares and weeds and stuff like that. Now, I started to say this a while ago, and I felt like I needed to wait a little bit. But it says here, you shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You can come again with rejoicing if you will go forth. And if you'll go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, you can bring your sheaves with you. Daniel chapter 12, verse number 3 says, they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever, Brother William. Rick told me, he said, that soul winner's crown is going to outshine them all. When God puts that crown on that soul winner and says, well done. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Now, I started to say something a while ago. I want to go back to it. Me and Brother Melvin, last Sunday, we pulled into a driveway, and he didn't notice it, but I did. We pulled in this driveway, there was apples all over the ground. You know what they're doing? They're rotting, decaying. No one gathered them. No one harvested them. And I looked at those apples, and at the time, I didn't really get the thought I had this week of how like those apples, lost souls are out there. There's a time to plant, and there's a time to harvest. But when those two times are over, if you don't harvest, then they'll just fall down to the ground, and they'll lay there. And I saw all those apples on the ground. And only God can take something like that and speak to your heart. And I thought how we've missed so many and how they've been failed to have been gathered up. Amos chapter 8, I believe it is, verse number 1, God said, what sayest thou? And He said, I see a basket of fruit. We need to look for some fruit. Fruit that's ripe. Fruit that's ready. Fruit that needs someone to come, like that Ethiopian eunuch in the Sunday school lesson this morning. They need someone to come and knock on their door. Someone to come and give them the truth. Not one of them Jehovah's Witness pamphlets. Man, I tell you what, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, but I'm a saved Jehovah's Witness. I'm not a lost Jehovah's Witness. But listen here. Soul winners bear fruit. Jesus said, every branch that beareth not fruit, He said, His Father takes them away. And every branch that bears fruit, He purges it. He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. St. John chapter 15, verse 2. Boy, we need to bear fruit. And I don't want to just bear fruit. I want to bear the right kind of fruit. I don't want nobody to come up here and think they're saved and think they're going to heaven and end up going to hell in a handbasket. I don't want that. I don't want to tell someone they're saved. I don't want them to shake their hand and say, you're a Christian now. I want to see travail of God on them. I want to see God's Spirit striving with them and dealing with them to the point they're willing to tear the carpet off the floor to get up here and get to Jesus.
Amen.
And I've seen it, buddy. I look back over some of my notes. I started passing here March the 3rd, the first day of March, 3-1-2011. And it was forever before we seen someone saved. But I still remember Christy coming out of that back row, Margaret seen her. And that was in May. And I remember Dustin had to help her. She couldn't even walk on her own. I like to see it like that. I never seen so much makeup melted. I didn't know it could get that much on her face. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, she's ripe. They just visited. They just come in here unannounced, just visiting. They come in here and heard the Word of God. And I don't know if she had any idea God was going to put His finger on her. And I didn't even know whether she saved or not. It's a good thing I didn't. But I saw God do His mighty work. He got a hold of her, boy. And I saw Him pulling her with cords of love. And I saw Him, boy, bringing her to Himself. And all I did is sit here and saw the salvation of God. Like Simeon, it said, "Mine eyes have seen Thy salvation." Glory! Wish we could see some of that. This is a dry, destitute, desert day. You show me some tears, and I'll take back what I just said. We've become so calloused in heart. We've got the careless someone else attitude. We need to be, as a church, we need to be revived. We need to reenlist. We need to salute to heaven again and say, "God, thank You. Send me to that one that's waiting for me to come to their door. Let me knock on that door. Let me open that door and see why You sent me there. And let me see and receive instruction and know more what I ought to be doing more." Amen. I'll tell you what'll fill this church. You want to know why so few's here? So few's going. Don't say send him, say send me. Don't say they'd be better, just say I'll go. I'll do the best I can. I'll tell you what'll fill this church. It'll make a difference. If you just pick up the phone and say, "Oh, I wish you was there this morning," God showed up. It was real. Won't you whet their appetite just a little bit? Say, "I wish you'd been there. God ministered in our midst. You could feel it in your heart." I'll tell you what'll make a difference. Someone said they, this church, like Rick over here and his wife, this guy lived right next to the church, and I mean they beat the door, paint off the door. For lack of better words, they give up on him. And that should never happen. But the pastor got a call one night. The church was on fire, and he drove over as fast as he could, and when he drove over, that man standing there. He said, "Well, I could never imagine you being over here. We couldn't get you to come for nothing." He said, "I never seen a church on fire before." And even though that is kind of funny, let's remember this. What brought him? He said, "I never saw the church on fire before." There's got to be something to get lost people to come. Because until they come, they don't know. The psalmist said, "Until I went into the sanctuary..." He said, "Then I understood their end." You know, you and I, we're in the church. We understand how these things are going to end. We understand all these things. And yet we do so little. Now those two girls that came last Sunday, I was glad to see them. Yes. For whatever reason, yes, the call brought them. I don't care if they're in shackles and they're wearing orange pajamas.
That's right.
I don't care if you bring them up here, there, here, or wherever. Let's remember, this is like a hospital. Jesus said, "They that be whole need not a physician." If we're going to whisper, let's whisper a prayer. God save them. God help them. Let's not whisper that they're high. Let's not whisper that they're falling down. They can't stand up. Let's remember where we're at. This is not the ball game. This is not the club. This is God's house. When lost people come in here, if you do anything, just say, "Lord, speak to them. Lord, save them. Lord, if they are saved, may they give testimony so I'll know it. Go back there and give them a hand of fellowship." Let's remember where we're at. I'll tell you right now, buddy, there'll be consequences. Look at Sapphira and Ananias. See, they're trying to play church. We can't do that.
Amen.
I'll tell you right now, buddy, God ain't mocked. I don't know what you think about God, but I fear God. If you don't fear God, you better think again. Look here. If you don't give that, I'll tell you right now what I'll do. I'll turn blue and hit the floor. This little thing here beating like a jungle drum right now, if it stops, rigor mortis is coming. In Him we live, move, have our being. Better be careful when it comes to God's house. I don't know who all's coming, but I'll tell you one thing. When they come in here, just remember, it's just God's house. I don't know why those girls left. The preaching may have been too personal. It was personal to me. I didn't leave, but I wanted to. I remember I wanted to get up and run out. If I'd been there by myself, I'd got up and run out. But I was with my family. But if they left because we're whispering and laughing or pointing, I promise you this, you'll never get their blood off your hands. You'll never, unless you win them to God, you'll never get that blood off your hands. And I know what that feels like, because I got little John, little red-headed John. His blood's on my hands. To this day, I know one day I'll stand and I'll see John. And he'll say, Eddie, I wished you to come on, knock that boy out of the way. I wished you'd at least tried to tell me about Jesus. See, God told me to go talk to this little boy, these puppet and my guys, to go back there and talk to him. Like God told me, get a truck and go back there and tell him about me. And I'm in the truck like a Baptist trying to find the right track for a little young teenager, 18-year-old little red-headed John with his leather jacket on, his Harley Davidson motorcycle sitting over there. And I finally get out what I think's the right track. It says I've got plenty of time, so there's a little teenage girl on there, and she dies that very day. So I go back there to John, and as I'm walking by the gas pumps, a guy steps between the gas pumps and me and John and starts talking to John, and I think I've got plenty of time, I'll talk to him next time. He died that night. That's why I say, as a soul winner, we need to realize you might not get but one chance. As a soul winner, we need to realize, buddy, God will require. And I know it. They ain't no undoing it. I know God's going to require. I wish I could undo it. I don't know how many people I've got their blood on my hands, but I wish I didn't have John's blood on my hands, because God told me to go back there and talk to him. For some reason or another, Keith, I thought I'd do it next time. There was no next time. That was it for John on the calendar of God. God already had his days numbered that night. I wish to God we could get a vision of lost souls, because the Bible said where there's no vision, the people perish. I wish to God we could get a vision. Not a television either. Let's go forth. Ask God to give you tears, a burden. Ask God to help you to bear the precious seed. And ask Him that you might come again, rejoicing, saying, "Woo! Glory! They got saved!" If Billy Huckabee comes tonight and he gets saved, I'm just going to sit over in the corner and try to keep him getting run over. Brother Melvin growed up with him. Brother Melvin said, "We need to go over and see Billy Huckabee." And we went. But I'll promise you this, if Billy Huckabee comes tonight and gets saved, I'll guarantee you there'll be sparks flying off of Melvin's heels. He said, that's what it's all about. That's how you get to rejoice. You ought to think about what's been said this morning, because what I said to you applied to me. I'm only the messenger boy. You're serious. You're saved. You ought to think about it. Father, we thank you for the message, the privilege to preach from your word. Lord, we're miserable instruments we need to use, but Lord, we yield ourselves and we give you the glory and the praise. And I pray, not knowing how the word of God went this morning, for those that you put your finger on, I pray that they would obey from their heart whatever you would lead them to do. And we'll ask these things in Jesus' name. Lord, those that might be here this morning not saved, I pray with urgency, Lord, they would make their way to this altar and try again. And let God know they're interested in where they're going to spend eternity. Help, Lord, I pray. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand.
Page 164.
I don't know how the Word of God went to you this morning, but if God spoke to you this morning and you need to do something, maybe just hug somebody's neck. I don't know.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing?
Are you washed? I'm glad I am. Man, I've never been so clean all my life. I slept better. makes. Won't you just come this morning and by faith take Jesus this morning? Ask Him to clean you up. I stopped cussing. I stopped drinking. I stopped going places I was going. I went all over the last little pop out to people. All the regret I got, I wish I'd done it sooner. I might have come to God on crutches, but I don't know more. I'm not in a wheelchair handicapped no more. He made me whole, amen. Lord, thank you for Brother William. Lord, it's just a blessing to see someone from their heart obey God. Bless him, Lord. Bless him. May others join him. May others say, Lord, if you can use someone like me, I yield myself. There's money in my hands. Mold me and make me. They're what I need to be. Bless Brother William. Bless him. In the blood of the Lamb. You want to win souls to God? Won't you ask for some help? Won't you ask God to put somebody on your heart? Won't you ask God to give you a vision? Like Macedonia that called Paul and said, come help us. Like Peter on the rooftop, Cornelius, come help me. In the cleansing blood of the Lamb. You know what, I bet? Stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Blood flowing for the soul unclean. Are you washed in that blood? Yes, I am.
And it's
all cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Look, if you come up on an apple tree and it's loaded down with apples and you just took over and shook it real good, what would happen?
Fall up.
That's right. That's what we need to be doing. Anybody got a word on your heart this morning? I wish we could see the fields white already to harvest. And I can't imagine after God giving that message to us all that we could be so silent. And if we are, I will dismiss, but I can't imagine us being silent after God has so greatly spoken here this morning. Bless you, Lord.
I thank Him for dying on the cross today.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to Him coming back. And I know this world is mighty, mighty shaky right now. You can fall either way you want to fall right now. But I'm looking at it. I praise the Lord.
Amen. Has anybody ever heard of D.L. Moody? Does anybody know how D.L. Moody was one to God? A humble servant of God on a cobblestone street. Laid a tract down on that street and said, God, help the one that needs this the most find it. And D.L. Moody, a shoemaker, came by and saw it, picked it up, and was begotten by the Word of God. Amen. And everybody knows D.L. Moody, but everybody don't know some soul winner. May not have had much backbone, but laid a tract down on a cobblestone street. D.L. Moody gave that testimony because that man came to a meeting and there D.L. Moody's up there preaching up a storm. And D.L. Moody talked about finding a track on a cobble street, and this man just broke. He said, I'm the one left that track. Anybody else this morning?
I just want to praise the Lord this morning.
Amen.
You know, we're still learning things in life. And one time, talking about going and doing stuff, one time this a man, he hung himself.
Yeah.
So, you know, I said it. I wasn't in no hurry about getting over there. I just kind of disliked the fellow a little bit. So anyway, I had to go and hang him on the same of life. And I let him down on concrete, not too easy. And he goes on down life. And I get saved on down life.
Bless you, man.
I wondered about that man. And so, I heard my son told me he left his testimony that he got saved. later on in years,
yeah,
and a few years after that. And you know, that was a blessing to me.
Bless you, William.
So we all need to do stuff.
Jesus makes a difference. You know, it made a difference.
I know in this walk, one time I got dry as a Christian. I just was in a valley night and felt in the Lord. And it was a year and 6 days or so. I didn't feel nothing, you know. So I knew I was saved. Nobody could tell me that. Even devil couldn't tell me that. But, I mean, it was hard to do. So one time I was out in the field. And you know, I know John was called up on the Lord's Day. And this,
yeah,
it wasn't a Sunday. But I was out in the field on the tractor mowing hay. And I just couldn't get no word. And I said, Lord, why has thou forsaken me? And I mean, the Spirit came back.
Yeah, man.
And when I came to myself, my tractor was sitting out there. But everything was right. And I've never been in that down in the valley again since then. Because I mean, I just love the Lord.
Amen, William. Come up here and rub some of that off on me. Amen.
He moved
mighty ways. Amen. I appreciate the testimony, Brother William. Oh, boy. Would to God, God's people, would realize the hour we're living in, for real. The reason why we're not in heaven, while we're still remaining and waiting, and we'd be about our Father's business, really. Anybody else got a word or anything in your heart?
Lord, not willing that you should leave here not saved.
That's right.
You know, I believe he's going to say somebody that fell apart of the Lord here. Don't want to be saved. You know, somebody make their own way forward. Saved. Well, they had opportunity then.
Yeah.
Let's keep working, praying, trying to get some in.
Old song says, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, and then go home with Him. Man, I get that all exactly right, but let's be working, amen. Let's be found going. Be found working. Anybody else? Not pumping the well, just want to give you an opportunity. If you want to give a testimony, I'll tell you, I hope this message goes home with you. Hope you have to chew on it like a piece of hard meat. I hope you come to no other conclusion of the fact you're the one that needs to be going. And I hope you do. Dismiss us, Brother Vernon.
Father, we thank the Lord once again for another privilege to be in your house. Thank you, Lord. You've been blessed in your life. Lord, you're good.